This is the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. This podcast is about sharing our journeys into liberty through self-sufficiency, off-grid living, non-compliance, counter-economics, and the Agora. Every episode will contain useful, practical, and applicable information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. This information is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. You could even consider it to be fictional if you choose. Before we start the show, I want to remind you about The Hitching Post, our free bi-weekly newsletter all about liberty through self-sufficiency and counter-economics. To sign up, go to offgridagorist.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. Thanks. Let's get on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. I am Cyrus. Regina is absent again today. I believe she's going to be back next week, so you guys will no longer have to listen to me rant solo. So last week, I talked about why government wants to control the money of a country. It is to control the exchange of value. This week, I'm going to discuss how that exchange is controlled and why it matters to a government. And most importantly of all, so listen all the way to the end, why does the agorist care? And how does the agorist move freely inside of an economy that's dominated by money that is controlled by the government? So just like the last episode, I'm not going to make a distinction between money and currency. I'm just going to be using the term money to keep things simple. When I talk about control of the money, I mean all aspects of the money, from creation of the money, what is the money made of, how is it printed or minted, how much of it is in circulation, what kind of markings are on the money, whether for the purpose of tracking it or for the purpose of control through the use of symbolism to propagate a dogmatic ideology and national patriotism, the rules and the regulations surrounding the money, and ultimately controlling the system of taxation and control of how the tax loot is distributed. So let's start with what the money is made of and how it's printed or minted or made or whatever. For this, I'm going to use the example of gold and silver coins. Now, this works in a very similar way, even with fiat currency, but the analogy of gold and silver coins is much easier to visualize. So, back in the days of monarchs and emperors, the monarch would dictate what the money was and how it was minted. For example, the British pound started out as a silver coin made from 1 pound of 95.2% sterling quality silver. And it was a standard, and so all the coinage was made that way. And so when people were exchanging value, they could use that money as the medium of exchange, and it was uniform, which was very handy. Well, in the mid 16th century, in the 1540s, I think, Henry VIII devalued the coin by removing 25% of the silver in newly minted coins, in effect taking a 25% cut of the exchange of value when money was paid to the crown. Because here's how they did it. The crown would take in Someone would pay the crown for whatever reason, whether it was taxes or debt or whatever. The crown would get their hands on a true silver coin, one that was 95.2% sterling quality silver. And then they would take that coin and they would remint the coin with 75% of the silver and pocket 25% of the silver, minus the minting costs. And this went on until the coins coming into the treasury were mostly the newer coin with 25% less silver. Then the monarch would devalue the coin again and start the process all over. And this happened a number of times in about a 100-year span until the pound was devalued a total of 83%. So effectively, the British monarchs in that 100-year period had stolen 83% of the country's wealth. And this was only possible because they had control of the creation of the money. So that's just an example. And don't get me wrong. I know I'm bashing the British pound in this example, but all monarchs did this, and all governments do it still today with fiat money. Now, I'm not going to go into the use of symbolism on money too much in this discussion, except to say that the purpose that the symbolism serves is to create a reverence for the rulers and a sense of national pride. So if a government can instill a sort of dogmatic patriotism through reverence for the rulers and a national pride in one's country, then it can use that patriotism later to extract value directly from the individual through either obedience or sacrifice. And that's all I'm going to really get into on that. But if you would like for me to cover this in more detail, then leave me a comment and let me know. Now let's move on to the control of rules and regulations surrounding money. Whenever there's a new rule or regulation involving money, it serves one or both of two purposes. And the first is to track any exchange that can be taxed, and the other is to take advantage of or manipulate behavior. So the more the government can track transactions, the more control it has over taxation. And, you know, much of this tracking and these regulations are said to be there to catch criminals, which I assume is true to a certain degree, but why does the government really care about criminal activity? My opinion is that most criminal enterprises don't pay taxes, and the government, above all else, wants its tribute to be paid. And that's their real motivation for tracking criminal activity. I'm a bit skeptical, and I don't think their intentions or motivations are all good, like they want to protect you from the evil criminals. I think that's secondary to tax collection. Secondly, the government will incentivize behavior it likes through tax breaks, and it will dissuade behavior it doesn't like through tax penalties, thus controlling or in most cases, taking advantage of behavior. And a good example of regulations that serve both of these criteria are the regulations for the hefty taxes paid on sale of alcohol. So the tax stamp on every bottle of alcohol is a way to track the taxable event of the production and sale of alcohol. And this hefty tax takes advantage of the behavior of those willing to pay higher taxes on a product they aren't willing or able to stop consuming. So that's why, you know, they can get away with taxing liquor at a much higher rate than other products. So why should the agorist even care about this information? Well, as an agorist who's interested in living a life with more freedom and consciously making decisions to starve the government of its revenue, it's important to know how the government's using money to control or extort value from you or through your behavior. And if you know that the government is intentionally devaluing the money to extract value from you, then you need to find ways around the use of their money. I'm not going to get into the fiat currency and how they devalue it. It's through inflating the money supply, and they do it like crazy, especially this last year and this year. They've inflated the money supply ridiculously, and that steals value from you. And if I need to do a whole episode on how that happens, then leave me a comment and let me know. But if you want to avoid these manipulations and this extortion, the easiest way to do this is through simplest. Sometimes it's not easy, but to use direct exchange of goods and services by not using money. And this is called barter. And I think everyone's aware of what barter is. I use barter every chance I get. In a barter exchange, you retain 100% of the value of that exchange, and you've lost no value through the use of a money that's worth less tomorrow than it is today. It's also an untrackable and untaxable event, so the added benefit of starving the government of their revenue. And barter is also a way to avoid the influence of tax breaks and tax penalties, thus removing the manipulation of your behavior by the government. So if you're doing barter exchanges, then the government doesn't know you're doing them, and therefore they can't incentivize or dissuade you one way or the other. Another way is to, whatever amount of food you can produce is less tax paid by buying it at a grocery store. And any food you produce that the government says is illegal to buy or sell is less behavioral manipulation. So, for an example, if you think raw milk is good for you and you like it, then buy a cow. Because in lots of places, it's illegal to buy and sell raw milk for human consumption. And another good example of this is home distillation. To tie in the other example of alcohol tax. If you make your own whiskey at home, then you don't have to pay the stupidly high taxes. And the government can't take advantage of your desire to drink alcohol. Home distillation is a great way to avoid taxes and manipulation. By the way, if you're interested in learning home distillation, then check out my podcast, Still in the Clear. That's STILL'N THECLEAR. I'll leave a link in the show notes. And, another activity for the agorist you can build wealth without government interference is with cryptocurrency. And this isn't a crypto episode, so I'm not going to get into detail, but you can invest in cryptocurrency, make gains and profits without the government even knowing you did it. Thus, they can't tax you for it. But if you want to learn more, we've done several shows about crypto. In fact, we have a playlist of all our crypto episodes, and I'll just put a link in the show notes for that playlist, and you can check it out. So anyway, I think that's going to be it. Just kind of a brief episode again, since I'm going solo, and just to touch on a few more a little bit more detail. With the topic of money. So I'm going to wrap this episode up. Don't forget to check out all our cool chit over at offgridagorist.com, and I'll talk to you later.